somebody who will never disparage my favorite band, Steely Dan. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. How are you, sir?
I'm much worse than I was before I found out there's actually people out there with musical taste that bad. I suppose I should have known that.
But, yeah, it really is hard to believe.
That was really disheartening.
Yeah, my friend Bill Voth will never return on the program for that, but that's fine. I'm glad I've thought so far in advance to have you on the program today. I think we set this up sometime last week. And I saw Ken Palm, somebody put out a Ken Palm list of top college basketball conferences that had the ACC behind the Mountain West. Now we understand that top to bottom, I get it. But historically bad teams will drag your league down if you don't have enough weight at the top. And the ACC's got some historically bad teams. That's not the only reason why the ACC is down, but, I mean, Louisville is 330th in the net. I know the net's bad, but it ain't that bad.
Yeah, you know, the net isn't bad. It just isn't what it should be. Basically, the net is like a dime store Ken Palm, and it was supposed to be something. It was supposed to be. It is improvement on the RPI, so it was, I guess.
Is it?
At least it's measured. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the RPI wasn't measuring much of anything. It was basically measuring how good your opponents were, or your opponent's opponents were. It was really antiquated, and this is basically just a predictive metric that's dressed up as not a predictive metric. If you look at Ken Palm and you look at the net, it's not that much different. There's a strong correlation there. So if you believe in what Ken's doing, then there's not much reason you should have a problem with the net. If you look at the rankings, they're not that dissimilar. I'm sure there are some different outliers in each one because everybody's formula is a little different. But I don't think the NCAA's foundational metric should be a predictive metric. I think that's just backwards.
So why didn't the NCAA just cut Ken Palm a check, cut Ken Pomeroy a check, and just use his ranking?
They could have. I would have much preferred that they, not that ESPN needs the money, but I would have preferred they cut ESPN a check and use the strength of record metric, which is, I think, a really effective metric that does not consider point spread, but only considers the strength of your performances. So how much you win matters, how good your opponents matters, how much you play on the road and on neutral floors and how you do there really matters. And that really should be all that goes into it to me. I don't think whether or not you beat somebody by 20 or you beat somebody by 5 should really matter to the NCAA. And it really doesn't matter to me. And I know that, maybe if you get bet and you use those predictive metrics, you make money. I don't know because I don't bet, and I'm not going to. So maybe they're good for that. But, and in terms of the other stats that you can find on Ken Palm's site, they're magnificent. I mean, efficiency and offensive rebound percentage and all this other stuff, it's fabulous. I mean, I
agree.
$20 a year for that, and it's, the best $20 I'm going to spend in a year. But I don't think the NCAA should be using that sort of that approach to decide how teams are grouped.
By the way, I mean, if you pick the right numbers, you can buy 10 lottery tickets and you might win a generational wealth, Mike DeCourcy. If you get lucky, you got to get lucky.
I have put some money on the Powerball. And the Mega Millions.
I have a threshold. If it's not $1 billion, I'm not interested. I'm not here. I'm not here for your 990 million. Talk to me when it's a B and not an M. All right. So let me get to the top of this this issue for those of us here, because we saw Duke go down to Miami and get just absolutely swallowed whole. And then we saw North Carolina try to outdo them, and I'm not fooled by the last 8 minutes of the game where they made it single digits. They were non-competitive against Wake Forest. Right or wrong, the two biggest names in your league will always leave the perception of what your league is And right now, to varying degrees, Duke's in better shape than North Carolina, I think. Neither team is great. And if North Carolina doesn't wise up, they might not make the NCAA tournament.
All true. Absolutely. At this point, it's pretty close to, and I'm not going to say it's all the way to, but it's pretty close to the number one thing that North Carolina has going for it on its resume is that it begins with the words North Carolina.
Right.
That's reality. I was watching, I don't remember what game, but Lenardi was on with Seth and whoever was the host, and LaFonso Ellis, and talking about how he thought that prior, maybe it was during the Wake game, and he talked about how he thought that prior to that game, he thought that they were being a little bit generously seeded in an 8-9 game. And that was, you know, I'm sitting there doing that every week, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of where my head is. And then they go out and finish off that loss, and it's like, okay, so are we going to be generous? Is keeping them in the field a generous act? I probably will, because you don't go from an 8-9 game to all the way out on one result. But, I think if you look at their resume, they're down around 1-7 in quad one. I mean, yeah, they're getting really dangerously close to not being a tournament team as they're performing now.
Their best win is NC State.
Yes, at home.
I mean, and I think NC State is good. So
yeah, they're very good.
Right.
Very good.
To me, NC State is a much more solid NCAA tournament team, although they don't have great – they've only got five combined quad one and quad two wins at this point, so they still need a little bit of beefing up. Maybe it helps seeding, but as long as they don't do something silly, I think that we're talking about an NCAA tournament team for sure, and maybe one that will be seeded in the top half of the draw. But – yeah, North Carolina's best win is that, and maybe their other best win might be College of Charleston at this point.
Right. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt to have that. At least it's a win against a team in the top dozen teams in terms of seedings. It hasn't helped them that Ohio State has gone the opposite direction. That seemed like a really good win at the time.
Right.
It's lost a lot of its oomph. Michigan is coming on and helping out a little bit. They do have Wake at home. So, you know, they've got enough there that when I put them in the bracket, I can defend it. But they're getting to the point now where, I mean, I think when you've got Clemson, Miami, and NC State coming up, two of them at home and then at State, you know, that's really going to declare whether or not you're making this. If you perform in those games like you did against Wake, and I don't think they will, but if you were to do that, you probably take a loss in at least one of those, and you certainly aren't going to win at State playing like that. So, I think I think they have real problems, but they also have a lot of solutions in their uniforms. Just a question of getting them to play to their ability.
So how do you put in perspective the team? Look, I know that the team that went to the Final Four was a combination of talent and hot streak, and I kept saying this before the season started, don't sleep on the loss of Brady Manek and what that meant. So it's not exactly the same team, but it's 80% of the starting lineup and the top sub from last year in Puff Johnson. How do you put into some perspective what has happened?
Well, first of all, it began with injuries. They had Armando was hurt for a little while. He's missed time. He missed that game, most of the game at Virginia, a game that at the time they seemed not likely to win, but competitive to win. They were competitive in the game, even with Armando playing limited minutes. And Puff being injured at the start of the year really hurt their depth when they were playing early in some of the back-to-back type tournaments. I thought that hurt them.
Right.
When they were up in Oregon.
That was a disastrous week.
Yes. There's a phenomenon that I came up with, and it's rare, but when I was watching the Vegas team in the early 90s with Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman and that group, I remember looking anytime they subbed for a starter. They had five great players.
Yep.
And any time they subbed, especially on the perimeter, because they had a couple of interchangeable big guys, but if they subbed one through four, it looked like one of those cars, like, you know, those donut tires. I don't think there are in as many cars as they used to.
Yes.
Like, that's what it looked like. You have three tires that looked like they, you know, like steel belted radials and all. And then you'd have that one little skinny tire. That's what it looked like when they subbed. And I think that was true for Carolina until Puff got ready, until some of the freshmen got more acclimated. I think that's what it was for Carolina early, and that bothered them, and that knocked down their confidence. And I thought there was an element of it was going to be hard with this team to convince them that November, December, January mattered, because they kind of took it off last year and still made the championship game. So it was going to be hard to convince them to be at their best in those months, because they knew they could still flip, or at least they figured they could still flip the switch like they did last year, and all of a sudden they're tearing through March. So I think that those are two of the problems that developed, and then I think there are others that have come forth, maybe as a result of those or maybe independent of them.
I do wonder. I've never been of the mind that the committee really looks at the front of the jersey, but I wonder if they're going to get the benefit of the doubt, because they really, other than the game against State, they have not looked consistently against good teams like an NCAA tournament team. They just have not. What's your read on Duke and their ultimate ceiling?
Yeah, I think their ceiling is high because they have ability, but I don't see them getting anywhere near it because they haven't found a consistent formula for success. I think Kyle Filipowski has been tremendous, but I don't think they've always played well off of that. They don't seem to have a secondary concept. They, when they can get the ball to Kyle in dangerous positions, they're in good shape. And if they can't, then they struggle to get anything going. And that's been a problem for a while. Not that there aren't occasions when this guy or that guy can make a basket. They've got really talented guys, but they don't seem to have a real second option that they want to go to, whether it's schematically or personnel wise. They don't seem to have that. I think some of it has come from the necessity to put Proctor on the ball more, you know, through injury, and also because it's one of those situations where one of the guys can pretty much only play point guard, and the other guy can do more. So let's put the guy who can only do that in charge, and then let's play off of that. And I don't think that they get that they're as dangerous offensively as they were toward the end of last year as a result.
If they had somebody who could get inside of the defense and create offense for himself or others, Duke would be amazing. But they don't have anybody who can get past his man. Nobody.
Yeah, some of that again is injury related. You know, they've had multiple injuries on the wings, and
maybe Whitehead, maybe Derek Whitehead could do that.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, that if he were available, you know, from the jump to now, he'd be a completely different player and much more confident. And maybe that becomes one of those things that helps break down defenses that are now stacking themselves up to basically stop Kyle.
Yep.
And not that concerned about the rest.
That's why I think State's the best team in the league, or not the best team in the triangle. I think it's either right. Miami or Virginia is the best team in the league, but I think State's the best team in the triangle because they have two guys who can get from the wing to the basket. They might not always finish, but they could get there. I don't think Duke has any guys that can get there.
Yeah, but now, you know, now State has to prove that on a more regular basis. I think you're right. I think they can do that. But I see Kansas win games that I don't think they should win. I've seen Carolina win games that I didn't think they should have won. And I always thought that there was at least some element of, and not the refs, but the guys. Like, the guys putting those jerseys on, like, I'm at Kansas, I'm not losing because I'm at Kansas.
Right.
And I think they're, you know, I think that you have to fight through that in the opposition, you know, in the other teams have to, you know, play past their jerseys. Or better yet, if you're a State player, remember, 83 happened, 74 happened. It can happen again.
Well, that's the beauty of basketball. That, I mean, I just said before that Loyola of Chicago made it to a Final Four, right? St. Peter's got to the Elite Eight. I mean, anything is possible in basketball because you can do everything right and the ball just doesn't go in, or somebody just goes nuts, especially with the three-point shot. Like, almost any result is possible in basketball. It doesn't work in other, like in a sport like football, it doesn't work because it's just such a physical right. test. But in basketball, it can work. Doesn't make a difference who you are. You can lose. But, you know, so maybe that's what happened in North Carolina last year. I didn't think that it was completely, you know, a shot in the dark. I thought there was a lot of talent that were involved that was involved there. I think Brady Manek meant a lot more than anybody wants to admit. One more thing, and this is about UNC before we say goodbye to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, at TSN Mike on Twitter. How much do you think maybe some people are regretting a decision to come back? Not Armando. Armando is pouring it out. I love Armando Bacot. I know you wrote a great piece about him, not only the player, but the person earlier in the year. But this is not about whether or not Bacot should have come back. But maybe there's some other players that maybe think they should have gone.
Well, they may not be having fun now, but I think you're seeing that none of them, literally none of them, would have been relevant at the next level.
Right.
At this point. So they, if they had gone, they'd be in a different place and they may be happier or less happy. I don't know. But they wouldn't be in the league where they would be happy just to be in the league. I mean, they might, you know, they might be in Turkey or they might be in
right.
Fort Wayne or whatever. But I don't think any of those guys could sit there and say, if I had left, I would be in the league right now. They wouldn't. None of them is talented enough to do that. They needed to be developed, and that development has stalled. I don't think Caleb Love has gotten to be a better player than he was a year ago. And I do still think that he has that ability, but I don't see, you know, I don't see the product of the offseason labor to get better in the way he performs now. I see pretty much the same player we saw a year ago, although less judicious than when we saw him at his best.
Yeah, Caleb Love needs to commit to being a driver first and then let the rest of his game come. But it's fun to shoot from 26 feet. Didn't you know that?
Yeah. It's fun. It wouldn't be for me because I might not hit much.
Oh, my gosh. I could barely reach from the free throw line now, Mike DeCourcy. It's really sad. I used to be like not terrible. Cherokee yeah. Parks and I played in had a 3-point shooting contest against my old friend Joe Ovius and I forget who else. And we won. I actually made some threes. Now I'd have to like turn and throw like a Meadowlark Lemon hook shot just to reach the rim from the 3-point line. It's terrible. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Who you got in the Super Bowl?
I'm going with KC. And I don't know how much of this is influenced by the fact that I do a regular spot in KC and they asked me for a prediction and I hadn't thought it one yet. So I went, I think I'm going to go with KC. I'm not sure.
I know the real reason. You're a Pittsburgh guy and we can't allow Philadelphia to have nice things. I get it.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. Yeah, you know, they've had too many nice things this year anyway. Think about it. Going back to last year, Final Four, MLS Cup Final, World Series. You know, just because they couldn't get any of those done doesn't mean you want them to have more nice things, right?
Right. Nice little, just stick the knife in and turn it. Mike DeCourcy, I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam.
You got it. See, we got a little dig in at the city of Philadelphia
yeah,
there.
I know.
They didn't win any of those.